Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Your parents lived through World War II, most of you. Some of you listening lived through World War II. These were terrible times. In fact, we almost lost the war in the first years of the war. Germany was so advanced technologically, and America had been so, let us say, demilitarized by the liberal socialists of the 1930s that we were almost unable to fight that war. But fight that war we did because we had a great war leader, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who marshaled the entire nation and all of industry to fight the Nazis on one front and the Japanese on the other. And during that period of time, movies were still made. People went to dances. People made love. People made babies. People sang songs. They lived. So you can't let the times dishearten you. These vermin, these rats, these subhumans who are striking around the world and who are in this country because of liberalism, they will be defeated. Mark my words. They are not going to take over this world. It's not going to happen. But a lot of people are going to be hurt or killed before they're killed. I'm telling you right now, because of the open borders policy of your radical president, going all the way back to Clinton. They're everywhere, according to the FBI agent. They're in this country in every state but Alaska. And there are people who are going to be hurt or killed because of it, because of liberalism. But that's just the beginning. But what I'm saying is, you can't let that stop you from living. You can't. You have to have a good time. Living well is the best revenge. At the end of the day, infidels. Welcome to Sharia Free Radio, where Islamist barbarians are Islamist barbarians. They're not just a random bunch of folks. Excuse me, they're not just a group of vicious zealots who shoot a random bunch of folks in a deli, which I spent 3 hours on yesterday, and I'm not going to repeat it again today. However, I got to tell you this. I'm waiting for the president to give a speech about the three Muslims who were shot in a dispute over a parking space in North Carolina by an atheist, socialist, liberal. I guarantee you that he won't say that it was not a hate crime. I guarantee he'll identify them as Muslims. That's coming. I know he's not going to say a bunch of folks were randomly shot in a parking lot by a zealot. That I know. No. No, indeed, infidels. No, you're just a bunch of folks to him. Of course, if you have an identity, an identity that can be used by the radical left, then you have an identity. Other than that, you're a stateless person. But we covered that yesterday. I'll tell you the truth. I'm so disenamored of Obama and the news that I don't even want to talk about it right now. I dreamed of Obama last night. He's getting into my subconscious. And it wasn't a pleasant dream. I'm going to be dying on it. It was not a pleasant dream just having Chinese food on Sansome Street this time. That I had 3 years ago, remember? He and I were in a pickup truck, and it stopped. I said, you want to come in for some dim sum? No, we were just friends. No, last night was not a good dream. So this guy is really, really dangerous. If he's willing to go to war with Russia over the fact that he's jealous of Putin because Putin's more of a man than he is and more loved by his own people, hey, we got to be a little careful of the folk in the White House. I got to be honest with you. These are just folks in the White House. And they're also zealous, by the way. They're zealous people. They're zealous people, and they're just a bunch of folks in the White House who are very mean and very vindictive. So it leads you to a question. Why do you think Obama is so quick to rush to war with Russia while not willing to go to war with ISIS in any dramatic way? I realize he sent a memo to Congress today asking for an authorization to do a little bit more. But why is he pushing Russia into a war? Why is he pushing illegals into America as fast as possible? Why are our prisons, which are now 30% occupied by illegal aliens, why is he bringing more of them in? Why does Obama continually dehumanize non-African Americans by using words like folks? With less than 2 years left in the White House, why would Michelle Obama announce she's redesigning the dining room? Is that a new story? That was just out today, Robert? She's redesigning the dining room with only 2 years to go? What is it going to be designed as a beer hall for the next push? With a six-month suspension of Brian Williams, is it a harsh? Who cares about him? Why wouldn't NBC suspend the fire Al Sharpton over the lies he's told over the years instead of Brian Williams? That's an interesting question, truthfully. Here's a nice one for you African-American listeners. Are you ready for this? Why won't African-Americans stand with Jews and Israel since Jews helped you during the civil rights struggle? Anyone have an answer to that one? I'll give you 3 seconds. How will Obama's attempt at controlling the internet affect you? That's a big story, but no one cares about that. Nah, no one cares about that. There's some other stories we'll get to on the Savage Nation. But first, I want to start with some humor. And that was yesterday. I had some humorous days. I had an imaginary visit of Abe Foxman of the ADL to the White House, which I thought was funny. And then I did some stuff on God created woman from a rib. Maybe the deli was attacked because they weren't serving locusts. You remember, it was kind of funny. I got zany. And when I get zany, either I can get bad or good. And I got good. It was good zany, wasn't it? Robert, yes, come on. I know you have to say yes, especially since I'm wearing a tag now on my in the studio. It says clergy from the university. I'm now a religious figure. I bought it for $20 on the internet. At least when I go on Southwest this weekend to L.A., I wonder if I wear a clergy tag if they do something. I want to see what happens. It's not. I am a clergy. I mean, according to California law, I am now able to marry people and bury them at sea. So what if I get on Southwest and have a clergy tag hanging? Will they treat me like Al Sharpton and call me Reverend? Will they move me to the head of the line? I mean, what do I get for that clergy tag? I want to see if people are that, you know, easily manipulated. I don't do these things. I'm going to wear it this weekend. I'm going to wear a clergy tag because I have it. It's legitimate. I'm going to go on Southwest with the proletariats. I'm going to fly down to Burbank. I'm one of these people in San Francisco. Can't wait to go to L.A. I go 3-4 times a year. I'm moving down there part-time. I give up on the creeps in San Francisco. It's Creepville. It's filled with haters like you can't imagine. Oh, they're all liberals and progressives. Yes, they are, but they're the most hateful people I've ever met on the planet. They have no imagination. The only thing they imagine is hate. All they can conjure up is hating people who love America. How'd that happen to a city I came... When I moved here in 1974, I loved this city. I thought it was the closest thing to a New Jerusalem in that sense. It was vibrant. It was alive. People were dynamic. It had a reasonable B-class newspaper. It's so degenerated under this one-party state and under the radical thumb of Willie Brown and his mimeograph sheets. It's frightening what the city has become. This is what happens under a dictatorship. No opposing viewpoints are permitted in the newspaper. The local news channels are worthless. They're worse than Brian Williams. They report nothing, garbage. The same garbage day in and day out. They can't even do the weather right. Every day it's about global warming and the drought. Speaking of which, there's snow in the Sierra. Gee, that was unexpected. It's February, you idiots. Where do these people come from in the media in the Bay Area? Hello, January, the logo, driest January in history. Earth is coming to an end. Sky is falling. I kept saying on the radio show, hey, idiot, February is our wettest month. Wait until February. And right on time, the rains came. And the snowpack came. Right on time. Now they're not reporting the snowpack arrived. Although the snowpack arrived, the reservoirs are still 39,000% under the level they should be in the Pleistocene. Yeah, same narrative. But you got to keep, you know, keep your wits about you. That's all I can say. So what I want to do to open the show today is have a good time. I do want to have a good time today on the Savage Nation. So if you're a bunch of folks randomly listening to the Savage Nation, how would I define my audience? Just a bunch of random folks? No, a bunch of folks randomly listening to the radio, or are you a bunch of zealous folks who are not randomly listening to the Savage Nation? I would think it's the latter. I think you're a group of zealots who do not randomly tune into the show. I think you're a group of zealots who religiously tune into the Savage Nation every day at this time. You know, I got to tell you something. This is not the biggest audience in the country because I've shifted times. I shifted syndicators, then I shifted times. I'm not complaining or explaining. My audience is not the largest in the country, but I think it's about the most religiously attached to a host of all. Teddy, if you don't stop it, don't interrupt the show again, you'll be fired. This is the problem with a dog in a studio, a dog in a restaurant, a dog in a bed. They do things they're not supposed to do in restaurants, studios, and beds. So anyway, here I am looking forward to going on Southwest Airlines and having a bag dropped on my head and begging for a glass of water and peanuts. And of course, I cannot wait to be frisked by people I've tried to avoid my entire life. I mean, when you think about it, the TSA, these are the people that you probably worked your whole life to avoid associating with. You've moved out of neighborhoods. You worked three jobs. You did everything you could to get away from people just like them, and there they are frisking you. How does that work out? I mean, when I was a teacher in junior high school teacher years ago, these are the people that I couldn't teach. They threw them out of school. Now they're all at the TSA with guns and badges who have the power to arrest you if you ask them a question. How do you like that? Then I got to go through Oakland, California. That's always a treat. Oakland Airport's a great place to go to. Great city to visit. You don't want to visit it, nor do you want to live there. Young Oakland girls called radical brownies learn social justice. That's a new phrase for communism. Instead of selling cookies, this comes to us from CBS San Francisco. 8 to 10-year-old girls are gathered in brown uniforms, giggling and eating cupcakes. They look like Girl Scouts, but it's not just fun and games. No, white policemen are killing black young folks such as women, men, and children, one of the little girls said. Another girl said, Mike Brown, he was shot because he didn't do nothing. Only the police officer shot him because of his skin color. These girls are called the radical brownies. And instead of learning sewing, they're learning social justice, meaning they're being brainwashed by Black Panthers because of the president in the White House. I think it's very appropriate. A lot of the work the Black Panthers did was community-oriented, said Radical Brownies co-founder Marilyn Hollenquist. Hollenquist and her friend Anna Vett Martinez co-founded this propaganda group a month ago after her daughter, Coatlope, told her she wanted to join a girls' group. So she thought, well, why just have them join the Girl Scouts? Why not have it really focused around social justice? Their first badge is a fist emblazoned with the words Black Lives Matter. They earned it from marching in a Martin Luther King Jr. Day parade in Oakland last month. So now you know what the phrase social justice means. It means communism, period. End of story. So, zealots, let's move on now to something more positive. Yesterday I was rapping on the Savage Nation, and I imagined, I asked the question why that Obama insulted Jews by saying the bunch of folks just shot in a deli without mentioning them as Jews. I asked, why doesn't Abe Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League, who normally has a mouth on him like he can't believe, like a butcher in the Catskill Mountains in the 50s when it comes to some things, but he didn't open a mouth, not a word. I mean, Anti-Defamation League means if you defame the Jewish people, right, you're supposed to stand up if you're the head of the Anti-Defamation League. Not a word from Abe Foxman. This is the same guy who didn't raise one word for me when I was banned in Britain for doing nothing. He didn't send one letter on my behalf. I wouldn't send him 10 cents if I were you. So when I come back, we're going to play my parody of why Abe Foxman doesn't say anything no matter how Obama defames Jews, right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Hello, infidels. Welcome back to Sharia Free Radio, where Islamist barbarians are called Islamist barbarians, not a bunch of zealots. No, they're not zealots. They're Islamist barbarians. And that gives barbarians a bad name, by the way. The barbarians were less vicious than this group of vicious subhuman murderers. You know what they did in Africa last week? It was one of the greatest slaughters in African history, and it wasn't done by white men. But that's why you didn't hear about it. Oh, yeah. Just last week. Didn't make it to your paper, I guess. They were interested in homophobia instead and racism against Muslims. Just last week, 2,000 poor, innocent African Christians were slaughtered by Muslims, the Boko Haram Nazis. They killed 2,000 Christians in a single day. Did you hear this? But you didn't make it to the Chronicle. Willie Brown didn't approve of it, I guess, and doesn't fit the news. All of the zealots that are fit to print or something like that. So Obama insults Jews by saying it's just a bunch of folks shot in a deli. And the next day we hear, don't disrespect our president, says black lawmakers to Netanyahu. So this is an amazing thing. The Jews helped liberate the black people. And now that the Jews have their backs to a corner, the Black Caucus says they're planning to boycott Netanyahu's speech because it's a slight to President Barack Hussein Obama. So they won't go there. And it was led by Representative John Lewis and Rep. Jim Clyburn. Can you imagine this is what's going on in your lifetime, how things are changing so fast because of the hater in the White House? So over the years, we looked up his insults over the years. Why don't we play the montage right now?
Remember that during the Crusades and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ.
It is entirely legitimate for the American people to be deeply concerned when you've got a bunch of violent, vicious zealots who behead people or randomly shoot a bunch of folks in a deli in Paris.
We've lost our ambition, our imagination, and our willingness to do the things that built the Golden Gate Bridge.
This is a great country that had gotten a little soft.
I bowled a 129.
It's very good, Mr. President.
This is like Special Olympics or something.
There have been times where America's shown arrogance and been dismissive, even derisive.
I know my country has not perfected itself.
Yeah, those are just some of the insults over the years, but get ready for the bigger ones. They're yet to come.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Anyway, here we are, little Robert Davi in the background. Davi sings Sinatra. How do you describe Savage listeners? A bunch of zealous folks randomly listening to a zealot? Would you describe Savage listeners as a bunch of random folks randomly listening to a person? I'm trying to use Obama's vocabulary. Would you describe Savage listeners as a random bunch of deli owners listening to a zealot? How would you describe it? That might be. Are you all deli owners out there? Is that how you? A random bunch of deli owners listening to a zealot would probably be how Obama would define my audience. You could say it's a laughing matter. I mean, he's insulted people over the years. Veterans, the Supreme Court. Now the Jews got it. They came up on the Ferris wheel. Who's next? Oh, Christians. Sorry. He did the Christians last week. Started with the Supreme Court. Oh, police, wait. The first in his sights were the police, remember? Going back to Cambridge, he took the side of the thug. So first on his Ferris wheel of hatred were the police. And over the years, there's been the Supreme Court attack. Israel Jews, Christians, veterans. Who have I missed? He has targets. He has targets on that list. Radical Islam is not on that list, that Ferris wheel. There's no seat for the radical Islamist in the Ferris wheel that Obama takes pot shots at, is there? No, no way. So now Matt Lee of the AP gets 4 gold stars today for taking on one of the girls in the sorority in the State Department, someone who, in my day, the most she could have done was sell brassieres and Macy's. Now she's a State Department spokesmouth, Psaki. Listen to what Matt Lee says in clip number 4.
Does the administration really believe that these people, that the victims of this attack were not singled out because they were of a particular faith?
Well, as you know, I believe, if I remember the victims specifically, there were not all victims of one background or one nationality. So I think what they mean by that is, I don't know that they spoke to the targeting of the grocery store or that specifically, but the individuals who were impacted.
You know, Miss Pataki, there will be a day that you're going to meet God. And just like the spokesmouth that works for Obama, who's one of your friends, you will be judged. You can laugh at it. You're probably an atheist that doesn't believe in the hereafter. But since I do, I'm telling you what's coming. You will be cast into the fires of hell for what you're doing. You lying thing, you. You don't know who these individuals were? The targeting of the grocery store? You mean the Muslims who broke in and killed the 4 Jews did so because they were angry at cans of green peas? Is that it? That's why they broke into the store? They targeted the grocery store? So then Matt Lee goes on in clip 5. He won't let her go. Listen.
But when the secretary went and paid respects to it, he was with a member of the Jewish community there.
Naturally, given that is the grocery store is one that...
Well, don't you think that the target maybe even if all the victims, even if the victims came from different backgrounds or different religions, different nationalities, wasn't the store itself was the target, was it not?
But I mean, that's different than the individuals being. I don't have any more to.
How could parents raise a Jen Psaki? Who would be the parents of a creature like this? How could this woman get up in the morning? Is she a vampire or a ghoul? I'm starting to think maybe these shows about vampires are real and they all work for Obama. Maybe they're not humans. Maybe they're just vampires because this person can't be a human being. The four hostages killed in the Jewish supermarket by the Muslims had names, you piece of garbage, you. They were all Jewish, you piece of garbage, you. Yoav Hatab, 21, Francois-Michel Saada, 60, Johan Cohen, 22, and Philippe Braham, age 40. Obama says they're just a bunch of folks in a deli, so you, as the little spokesmouth for the Goebbels Institute of Dissimulation of Reality, have the nerve to continue the big lie? Listen, the people are looking at you, and they're looking right through you. You're naked. It's not that the king has no clothes. It's much worse than that. The people hate you. The people hate you, Jen Psaki. They hate you. They hate the other spokes children that work for Obama. You're like nasty, lousy liars in a school that's gotten caught. And you keep on lying because you've never been punished for what you're doing. But your punishment will come. My prediction is Obama will fire you in the very near future because you've been exposed for the failures and the empty heads you are. But okay, I want to have a good time today. I couldn't resist that because it's getting me so angry that these little Nazis continue to cover up the threat that we all face by the Islamists. I mean, they keep covering it up. In other words, if you're enabling the Islamists, then you're on their side. It's that simple. Okay, so now let's look at some of the sound I put together for you. Kosher deli attack. Now you got idiots like Nancy Pelosi. We got the cuckoo clock ready. Here's a woman who pretended to be a friend of Israel, a friend of the Jews when it was convenient for her and the money was flowing. Now because her boss, King Hussein, is jealous of Netanyahu. You see, I read that there's something other thing, subtext this. The reason Obama is offended by Netanyahu appearing is that when Netanyahu last appeared before a joint session of Congress, he was roundly applauded. They loved him. They cheered him. Because he's a real war hero, by the way, and loved by real men and real women. So Obama has never had that kind of support from Congress. Never. It's a personal thing because he's jealous. I read that somewhere. It's not a bad analysis. This man is so clouded by his emotions that he's willing to destroy relations with Israel and Russia because he's jealous of Netanyahu and Putin because they're better men than he is. And, by the way, they're more loved by their own people than he is because they protect their own people while he doesn't protect his own people. Do you feel that Obama's the greatest protector of the American people? That would be a ludicrous thing to believe. Certainly ludicrous. Don't call me on that one. So here's the question. Why are the Jews of Hollywood not saying anything? Why are they still supporting him? I realize I shouldn't say Jews and Hollywood in the same breath. I realize that that's at the third rail of politics. You cannot make that association. You can't make that association, even though Geffen, Katzenberg, Spielberg, and Harvey Weinstein happen to be originally of Jewish parents. I'm sure they're not religious. I'm sure they're all atheistic. I'm positive of that. I can almost be 1,000% positive of that. These are Jews in name only. You heard of rhinos? These are gynos. A new acronym by Michael Savage. They're gynos. Jews in name only. So why are the gynos of Hollywood not saying anything since some of them do support Israel? Why are they silent? Why are they silent? They're such loudmouths on anti-gun, on gun grabbing, on unfairness, you know, blah, 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 the whole blah, blah. Why are they silent? I don't get it. I do know why. It's because they just got tax breaks from the government. You didn't know the connection. Come on. What, are you kidding me? They lobbied for tax breaks to be restored in Hollywood. They got the tax breaks, and now they dummied up. It's that simple. What, are you stupid? You don't know how it works yet? It's how he buys everyone off with the golden dollar. It's how he bought off the churches and the synagogues, why they're silent to his insults against Christianity and Judaism. Come on, follow the money. Bunch of folks randomly shot by a zealot, right? Sure. All right, so we're going back to that again. But the thing is this, Pelosi, who's always been a laughable character, even in San Francisco, she's laughed at behind her back. Everyone laughs at her behind her back. Powerful, yes. Dangerous, yes. Vicious, yes. But everyone laughs at her. A couple of years ago, I went to an Italian-American dinner once. They took me on. I'm never going to say who. I don't give up. I don't give up info. Some top Italian-Americans in the city took me aside, and they said, hey, we all laugh at her behind her back. Listen to what this thing said about why she's not attending the Netanyahu speech. Listen to this one.
No, I don't think anybody should use the word boycott in this. I'm seriously considering going. It's still my hope that the event will not take place. There's a serious unease, but don't even think in terms of the word boycott. Members will go or they won't go, as they usually go or don't go.
I'm seriously considering going to listen to Netanyahu speak, but it is still my hope that the event will not take place. That's a Pelosi, man. That rises to the new level of insanity. But it's not a boycott. It's not a boycott by the illegitimate communist left. No, not at all. I would say shame on you, but these people have no shame. They're incapable of it. Anyone who would wash the feet of an illegal alien and pretend she cares, what does that tell you about a person like that? But nevertheless, okay, so I asked about why the Jews of Hollywood like Spielberg, Geffen, Katzenberg, and Harvey Weinstein, why they're not saying anything about Obama's slurs against the Jews who were killed. It's pretty obvious, tax breaks. That's number one. Number two raises another question. Play some Davi for a minute, some upbeat Davi song. Imagine if I had a big band behind me. There's a huge sound, come out, have a drink in my hand. Nice shirt, nice tie, nice suit, singing on the stage. Not a trouble in the world. Yeah, right, they had an easy life. He has an easy life, sure. See, that's the beauty of being an entertainer, is that they're supposed to have you believe that they're carefree. It's like Dean Martin would sing even though his son was killed. Remember that? You don't even know that who Dean Martin is. He's so past. He's so in the past. But Dean Martin had a son who enlisted, I believe he was a pilot, I know that. And he got killed in a fighter crash. I think in training, by the way. It broke his heart. It ripped his guts out. But you know what? He continued to sing. And I'm sure when he got up and sang in Las Vegas or wherever, he didn't tell everyone about his broken heart. That's why we go to entertainers. They make us laugh. No, that was years before his son died. No. That's in the old days. Turn that off. Do you ever get so drunk, by the way, that the moon looks like a pizza? I have. Years ago, when I was young, I would do that. Robert says he still does. You know, if you drink enough wine, the moon does look like a pizza in the sky. A big pizza in the sky. But the thing is, he sang. I mean, his heart was broken, but he sang because that's what we pay them for. Entertain us. What does entertain mean? Lift us out of our ordinary misery. That's why entertainers are so well paid. But you know behind the scenes what happens. Look at Robin Williams down the street. What happened to him? I mean, the guy was a first-rate comedian, great mime. You know, I happened to live near him. But the thing is, I didn't know him well, but he was a nice enough guy. We were opposite ends of the poll, the political poll. I, over the years, would say hello over the dogs. Never touched on politics. Look what happened to him. He had to hang himself there in the garage. What was that about? Because underneath it, you know, the clown is not so happy. You know that, right? The tragedy of the clown. We all know it too well. You know, laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. How does Obama get away with hating the world like this, hating America, rather, and it doesn't eat him alive? How is that possible? How could a man who was given everything his whole life hate this country so much? How does he get away with lying for six straight years and hating every decent institution and not be ashamed of himself? I'm starting to wonder if there's not like a ghoulish vampire thing going on somewhere in that White House. Nothing else would explain it. Because the average intelligent person by now, even liberals who voted for him, understand that there's something wrong with this picture. This vendetta against every decent institution in the country has become crystal clear, even to the most loyal supporter of Obama, even those who still pretend to support him, now know who he is. So he must know who he is. Why does he do it? How does he have such an animus to this country, which has been nothing but good to him? How? You ask yourself that. So I asked you, why do the Jews of Hollywood not do anything about Obama's anti-Israel bashing, Israel bashing, Netanyahu bashing, boycott of Netanyahu. By the way, unheard of. Unheard of. Now you'd say, oh, Netanyahu's being boycotted by those nasty right-wing Republicans, right? No. Being boycotted by those nasty left-wing Democrats. Put that together. How come you've seen that? Not seen that in the AP. Nasty left-wing Democrats, zealous, nasty left-wing Democrats, boycotting Netanyahu because King Hussein told them to do so. What does that tell you about that little fascist party over there? So why, where's the ADL? Where's the Anti-Defamation League I asked earlier? Where are they? Where's Abraham Foxman? Oh, Abraham Foxman, a god himself. Another Al Sharpton type. Another self-important individual in the world of pseudo-religious affairs. So yesterday I did this in a more comedic sense about why Foxman doesn't say anything. Let's listen and see if it's still funny. Let me hear it. Obama calls murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli, and not one word from the professional Jewish organizations. Not one word, not a peep out of them. Where's Marvin Chaya? Where's Marvin Chaya? Where's the Anti-Defamation League when we don't need them? Yeah, where's Foxman of the ADL? Where are you, Foxman? How come you're invisible? What, you get an invitation to the White House with Al Sharpton? Obama calls murdered Jews just a random bunch of folks shot in a deli, so that's defamation. So where's the Anti-Defamation League? Answer, nowhere to be found when you need them. That's all. Any other questions? They get smeared off by the government, big contracts and grants. All you got to do is invite them to a dinner. One dinner at the White House with Michelle and, where are you going tonight, Aiden? Oh, don't ask. No, nothing important. Where are you going? It's a nice tux, man. You still look good in it. Where are you going tonight? No, we're just going to the White House. That's all. We're just having a little dinner with Michelle and the president. Really? No, okay. How'd you get invited? We're close with them. You know, we speak on a fairly regular basis. The Reverend Sharpton and I are in constant contact on issues to do with religion and theology. And, we're going very well. Where are you seated, Abe? Who are they seating you with? Well, don't ask. That's very personal. It's private. We have a Secret Service detachment.
That's it. Pretty good. Not bad. Some of it was good. The tonality was good. The voice was good. I changed voices, though, from old Yiddish to modern phony. Now, if you study the Sanhedrin, which is the name given in the Mishnah to the council of 71 Jewish sages who constituted the Supreme Court and legislative body in Judea during the Roman period, it will answer all the questions I've raised in the last segment. Why doesn't the ADL say anything? Why don't the other religious, I know I got to take a break. Why doesn't the Hollywood Jewish crowd say anything? Because they are the new Sanhedrin, get it? When Jesus walked the earth, there was a Sanhedrin. Put two and two together, and you'll come up with the right answer, my friends. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Jesus was crucified because of blasphemy. You know what blasphemy is? Anyone know? Raise your hand.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
We do have today a profound disagreement with the United States administration over the offer that has been made to Iran. This offer would enable Iran to threaten Israel's survival. This is a regime, Iran, that is openly committed to Israel's destruction. It would be able, under this deal, to break out to a nuclear weapon in a short time, and within a few years, to have the industrial capability to produce many nuclear bombs for the goal of our destruction.
Yeah, there's no England anymore. We understand that. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So the Jews are fleeing Europe in record numbers, not seen since the Nazi takeover of so many European countries. And the Jewish people are canaries in the coal mine once again. If the Muslim zealots can drive out the Jews, they will next go for the Christians. And they will continue on their worldwide rampage and conquest in the name of Islam. Welcome to the Savage Nation. And that is why, for Nancy Pelosi and the other shameful left-wing fanatics in Congress to boycott Netanyahu, that's the reason the people are so upset with the fanatical Democrat Party under Barack Hussein Obama. Welcome to the program. I want to talk about the word blasphemy, because Jesus was declared to be committing blasphemy by the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin were Jewish judges, lawyers, in other words, the same types we have today. Their ancestors lived in Israel. The same types became members of the Sanhedrin. And they said Jesus committed blasphemy. Now, they didn't have the power to conduct executions, which is why Jesus was crucified, which was a Roman form of enacting the death penalty. The Jewish form, which was not as severe, it was stoning to death. It was very advanced for its time. Very much like the Muslims of today, they stone homosexuals to death in the Middle East, and not a word from the homosexual lobbies or such. But nevertheless, what is blasphemy? You hear blasphemy. You kind of know what it is. Blasphemy. Blasphemy is the act of showing contempt, insulting, or expressing a lack of reverence for God. The act of claiming the attributes of deity yourself. Sound familiar? Defiant irreverence towards something considered sacred. So I'm sorry to tell you, to Barack Obama, if you don't agree with him, you're committing blasphemy. Think about what his animus is towards veterans. They don't like him. They don't have contempt for him. They have no reverence for him. And they have a reverence towards him, and he thinks he's sacred. So anyone he targets in his mind is committing blasphemy. Does that fit the picture now to you? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What's happened to our country, that we have a man who's almost probably a madman inside. See, here's the problem. You don't understand that a person can be a madman without being, you know, drooling on himself or walking around looking nuts. There are many people who are mad. Maybe you're mad. Maybe everyone in the country's crazy. I don't know. But the thing is, it's certainly, if madness can exist in many forms, why should we assume that it can't exist in a congresswoman from California who was once Speaker of the House? Why should we assume she's not a mad woman? Why, there are mad women in the world. It takes various forms. Nancy Pelosi is, by all definitions, a mad woman. And it applies to others in politics, by the way they behave. They think that anyone has to revere them. They think that they're deities themselves. We have no reverence for them. And they get angry and they try to get vindictive with using the IRS, whatever they have to use. We now have this kind of madness in the land. There's madness everywhere, but, you know, it's funny that I'm talking about madness right now. Hold up. Because the opening to my book, Stop the Coming Civil War, which is still the most important book of 2014, has an interesting quote. The opening quote is, "I cannot comprehend the madness of the times. Treason is in the air around us everywhere. It goes by the name of patriotism." Thomas Corwin to Abraham Lincoln, 1861. And the question mark of the chapter head is graduating to treason. Listen to the opening of this prescient book. "People can justify a government's controversial policies and actions for only so long until they see a pattern of abuse of power. Then even the most devout supporters of any regime must decide if they support these extreme policies and actions or oppose them. With the current government, this point of no return was reached for some when they slowly realized the extent of the vast National Security Agency spying scandal. For others, it was the release of known Islamist terrorists from the Guantanamo Bay prison without congressional knowledge. For most Americans, the flood of tens of thousands of illegal immigrants from Central America, purposely created by the administration to overwhelm our southern borders, was the final straw." And I go on, and I explain to you, what would finally trigger an event that will provoke an American insurrection, even a civil war? I ask that. And then I said the desperate Democrats are all pursuing policies of race and class warfare. As their failures and many deceits become clearer to the people, as the war they're fighting against the freedoms promised in the U.S. Constitution materializes, they are counting on minority voters to turn out for them at the ballot box. That's the opening to the most important book of the year, Stop the Coming Civil War by Michael Savage. I highly recommend that you read your copy all over again. I highly recommend you share your copy with someone who doesn't understand or maybe has suddenly become aware of what this man is doing to this country and the world. The world is a mess. The world is a mess. You say, well, what does he have to do with it? Well, I'll tell you again. Remember when he was running for office, his weakness was foreign policy because he had none? Remember Obama was a thin congressman from Illinois. No one knew who he was. He had no background, no experience, wasn't known for any legal theories, nothing. He was known for nothing, zero. So he was selected by the group that runs the world, and they foisted upon us the way they can do with money and power, television ads. He's a great speaker, very handsome, beautiful family, and the rest is history. The thing is, how did he win a second time if he was so bad? The answer is Romney. They ran as weak a candidate as they could against him, who took a flop. He took a fall. I'm positive Romney was set up to fail. I'm positive, as sure as I stand here. I'll never be able to prove it, but I can give you a piece of evidence. First debate, Romney wiped the floor with Obama. He looked like what he is. Unprepared, just all over the map, didn't have answers, teleprompter wasn't working. A disaster. He looked like what he is. Thin man. Unqualified at any speed. Romney looked statesmanlike. So what happened in debates two and three? They brought in that blimp, Candy Crowley, and some other left-wing zealots. They did set up questions, but more than that, they took Romney in the back room and they said, look, Mitt, here's how it works. You can't win. We told you you couldn't win. We told you you had to make a show of it. We told you to take it to the third round. You knocked him out in the first round. So what you're going to do is you're going to let him knock you out in rounds two and three. And that's what happened. They set it up. They didn't want to win. Now, why would the Republicans not want the presidency? Because they wanted to blame the Democrats and him for the policies that they themselves wanted. You don't understand how it works. It's all a shell game. Plato wrote about the shadows on the wall of the cave, where he said that the average citizen doesn't even see the actors. All they see is the shadows on the wall. We're only seeing the shadows on the wall. So you still think that there's going to be an election in 2016. Really, and that's why they're dredging up Jeb Bush. That's the best the Republicans can come up with, is Jeb Bush, a man who wants the nation flooded with illegal aliens. Jeb Bush is your answer to the problems we're facing. So it's the fix is in. But it goes back to the question of blasphemy. Anyone in talk radio who is not committing political blasphemy on a regular basis shouldn't be in the business. But not towards God. Toward the establishment. If you see that blasphemy is the act of showing contempt, insulting or expressing a lack of reverence for politicians, or the defiant irreverence toward politicians who consider themselves sacred, then you're not doing your job. If you're not committing an act of contempt or insult towards the power structure, you shouldn't be in talk radio. That's all. That's my opinion. The times are very short right now. And many people see what's going on, but most people don't. I said many see, but most don't. That's all. Where it all ends, no one knows. But Israel right now is the issue. It's not like I'm obsessing on it for any reason other than the Jews are now the canaries in the coal mine all over again. Not since World War II have the Jewish people around the world, especially in Europe, been under such attack as they are now by Muslims. Damn it, it's the Muslims. Who the hell do you think you're driving the Jews out of Europe? You stupid idiots, you! And why are the Muslims in Europe? Where'd they come from? Liberalism. Liberalism brought them in by the millions. And right now the police are afraid of them. Just last week, this was hushed up by the newspapers in America, a group of Muslims with AK-47s opened up on police in Marseille, and the police fled because the police didn't have the guns that they had. Again, the Muslims are taking over whole cities. England, there are areas of England that the police don't dare go into. That's why I played the song, There's No England Anymore. So the same mentality, the same self-destructive, suicidal mentality of liberalism that has destroyed England, destroyed France, is destroying America, is now going after, listen to me very carefully, going after Israel because it's a Jewish state and they don't want a single state. They do not want a state that's primarily anything like that. They don't want a Jewish state, in other words. They want a heterogeneous, multicultural nation in the Mediterranean, just like any other Mediterranean nation. They don't want a Jewish state. They want it broken because it stands in the way of the omelet called the New World Order. And Karl Marx wrote, if you want to make an omelet, you got to break a few eggs. So right now, the egg that needs to be broken is Israel. That's what Obama's doing. That's what he was hired for. His gang put him in power to break Israel over his knee. That's number one. And they told him, when you break Israel, you'll get another Nobel Prize. Now, what about Russia? Why are they attacking Russia? Are they insane? Why would these psychotics want a war with Russia? Russia's not Israel, by the way. Russia is not only on parity with us militarily, they're superior to us in some ways militarily. And if you think the Russians can't fight, you got another guess coming. It's not composed of the new army that we have in America today. They haven't put women in charge of everything who've never fired a BB gun. Okay? But let's pray to God that it doesn't come to a shooting war. Let's hope that cooler heads prevail and the psychotic girls who are running this country just are stopped at the last minute by the men in the military, because we're going to have a nightmare on our hands if these idiotic psychotic girls who run the country start a war with Russia. But you ask yourself, why are they going after Russia? Why? Well, we heard all the pretexts. Ukraine this, Crimea that. I heard all of the crap. That's not the reason. I know the reason. I know the reason. And I'm actually reluctant to tell you the reason they're going after Russia. It has nothing to do with Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Crimea. And I have to say it in a delicate manner, owing to the pressures that I'm under as a national talk show host. So let me put it in as delicate a manner as I can. Where does Russia stand on gay rights? Well, not high up. No, they're pretty bad on gay rights in Russia. Oh, really? Okay, so that's one side of the equation. The folks who work around Obama, where do they stand on imposing issues to do with gay rights, gay marriage on the world? You can pretty much figure that one out. Now take the two parts of the seesaw and you can figure out one of the primary reasons Vladimir Putin and Russia has been targeted by the psychotics around Obama. These are the same people who will not say Jew when Jews were killed in the deli. These are the same people who will not say Muslim when it was Muslims who killed the Jews in the deli. These are the same people who have nothing but contempt for Vladimir Putin and Benjamin Netanyahu. I want you to put one and two together and come up with three. This is what happens when you have zealots running a nation. They can make things happen that are very bad. So Obama, as I started this monologue, had no foreign policy experience. In fact, it was his weak point, which is why McCain was running ahead of him in the first set of debates. Remember that? Going all the way back? McCain, the lunatic, was going to beat Obama, could have beaten Obama, if he had once gone with the people when they said, I'm afraid he's a Muslim, and he said, oh, no, he's a nice Christian man with a good family. That was the end of McCain. You don't remember that, do you? But McCain was looking like a better choice during the first shot because at least he had knowledge of the world. Obama had no knowledge of anything outside of community organizing in the Chicago area. That's all we had. So, no foreign policy. So now we come here, 6 years later, the world is in turmoil. What does Obama have to do with it? Everything. The world is in turmoil because of this one man. You know, one powerful man could destroy a whole world. You know that. You don't know that, but you got to understand one great man can bring a world together. And one screwed up individual can wreck an entire world when he has unlimited power. Do you understand that? And he owns the Brian Wilsons of the media, the Williams, whatever his name was. If you own the Brian Williams puppets, and you own the media, and you own Hollywood, you can do anything. You get it? Okay, I said I would have a good time. I'll be back to do so right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
This resolution repeals the 2002 authorization of force for the invasion of Iraq and limits this new authorization to 3 years. I do not believe America's interests are served by endless war or by remaining on a perpetual war footing. As a nation, we need to ask the difficult and necessary questions about when, why, and how we use military force. After all, it is our troops who bear the costs of our decisions.
Does he say
and
Islamic
we owe them a
State?
Clear strategy and the support they need to get the job done.
About what? That's the whole thing? He didn't mention ISIS, Islamic State, Muslims on the rampage, Muslims raping and killing with impunity, 2,000 killed in a single day in Africa last week. No, not one word. Another war. He didn't mention ISIS. He did mention ISIS. You just didn't get it in that soundbite. All right, so here we go again. War and rumors of war. Long overdue, by the way. But you know something, if you're an armchair general, as I am, I know something about history. And the worst thing you could do is enter a fight that you don't intend to win. I know that from being a kid. Never enter a fight you don't intend to win, or you're going to get your behind kicked. And if you're just going to go in there in another tepid way, like Bill Clinton did, firing missiles into a glass factory, whatever it was, I'm not telling you that I don't expect American soldiers to be taken hostage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, look, we're 90 minutes into the Savage Nation today, and I can't believe I've not taken one phone call. It's pretty amazing when you consider that I'm a call-driven show in many ways. Yes, I like my monologues and all, but something's going on. The news is so profoundly affecting me that I don't even want to call here and there, and yet it's the essence of talk radio. So I feel obligated to take your calls because I don't know what you're going to call about. You know the topics I've talked about, but I don't know what you're going to call about. Remember, it's simple. I call your number, unprotected talk. We don't know what we're going to get. You give me your name, station, topic, and fire away. Let's start with line number six. Six, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Ray from Livermore, station KSFO in San Francisco. And the topic is, why does Obama want to bomb Russia? But I first have to say, you were talking about this, your Savage listeners. This is a copycat, random act of lone wolf calling on the Michael Savage show.
So. It's a copycat caller. I get it. I know what you're saying.
Right. There's two things I think that are driving this, and I'm waiting for you to straighten me out on this, Michael. One of them, Russia knows how to deal with radical Islam, and they handle it very firmly and very quickly, and I think that bothers Obama. And also...
Well, you can't have that. You can't have that because they'll call them Islamic terrorists and kill them.
There you go. But when they take hostages, they just kill them all. They just kill everybody.
Well, remember what the special forces did in Russia when they went into that movie theater where those verminous women in their burkas took over and strapped explosives to their bodies thinking the Russians wouldn't go in? They went in, and they killed their own women and children, but they eradicated the rats and burkas. Remember that?
There you go. A lot like a Blackjack Pershing, you know, just a take-no-prisoners attitude, and they get the idea. But I think also the left has this thing. They blame the former president about bombing people of color or how he liked to bomb brown people. I think this president gets a kick out of bombing white people, and I don't like to say that. I really don't, but I'm playing the left game. This is the game they want to play. These are the rules they set, and that's what...
That's interesting. Are you meaning yeah, but come on. That doesn't apply because he's going to go after ISIS. He just said so.
Yeah, with 12 sorties a day. Yahoo. Yeah. Wait.
Did he say it's going to be 12 a day? Did he say that?
They might be cutting it back to 11. But
come on. Please, this is important. In this authority today, it gives the authority for a systematic and sustained campaign of airstrikes. You don't really know the number, do you?
I don't know, but I can tell you it'll be weak. It'll be very much less than what it needs to be.
One thing we can know for sure is that the Secretary of the Air Force has never flown a kite, will not be leading the charge.
And that's why she was picked for the job. You know, we've got...
Oh, that's right. Who else would you pick to run the Air Force but a woman who can't fly? Who else would you pick to run the Navy but a woman who can't drive a motorboat?
And there he goes, and it goes back to Cambodia. They did the same thing. You've talked about this before, Michael. They take the people who are qualified for the jobs, they yank them out, stick them in the field, take the most least qualified person, and put them in the job that requires quality.
That's what Mao Zedong did. That's exactly what happened after Mao's communist revolution in China. They actually removed surgeons from hospitals, put them in the laundry room, as they said that they were a bourgeois, and they took women from the fields, illiterate peasant girls, 14 years of age, and told them to become doctors. And any of the girls that said, but wait, I don't know how to be a doctor, they said you're a counter-revolutionary, and they put them into an internment camp. Look, we're all speechless by this character, aren't we? And the question is, why did he suddenly give an authorization for war out of nowhere? Where did this come from? Who pushed him to this?
Maybe it was a young American girl who was just killed by radical Islamists, and a hashtag campaign is not going to get the job done this time.
You think that that's what did it? You think that that's the final straw for him? I mean, somebody in the administration said, hey, boss, you better act. You're looking pretty weak on this. You have to go on Vox and explain why the people are freaked out by your inactivity as commander-in-chief. So now they kill the girl, and finally they decide to go on the offensive. Is that it?
I don't know.
I don't know why all of a sudden is he giving muscular results out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But listen, hey, you know something? I'm going to give you a gift, first of all. Hey, you're getting a free... Give him a free gift on the flowers. You're getting a free pro flowers coupon up to $50 for free. So stay in the line for that. And you know, there's only 3 days left of Valentine's Day. And what's going to happen, as you know, you're going to know this. They're one of my premier advertisers, along with many others, including the people you all listen to. But this is a personal one for you, because what's going to happen is a lot of you guys do. You're going to buy flowers on Friday, and you're going to get the leftovers. They're going to be wilted. You know, the ones that you go in a stand for, the ones sold by illegal immigrants along the highway, they're not going to work for your girlfriend or your wife. You say, well, she doesn't even want flowers. Yeah, right. Tell me a woman who doesn't. But, you know, it's cheap enough. It's unbelievable. 2 dozen assorted roses, the best quality, chocolates, a free glass vase for $29.99 from Pro Flowers. And if you really want to be a sport, impress her and upgrade for 2 dozen long stem assorted roses, chocolates, plus an upgraded cherry vase for just $9.99 more, the price of a beer. Just go to proflowers.com, and if you love Michael Savage, you use my code Savage. Why should you use Pro Flowers when there are other choices out there? One, nobody knows flowers better than Michael Savage. I have a degree in botany, as you well know. I chose this company because they're the best. You can't beat their delivery, you can't beat their price, you can't beat their convenience. The roses are better. Okay, and Pro Flowers makes it easy to check off the whole list of good stuff. And they last for up to 7 days. You get your money back. So she's going to love you for 7 full days, by the way. You know, they last so long. I want you to go to the amazing Valentine's Day deal of the week. Proflowers.com, click on the blue mic in the top right corner, and type in Savage. End the story. Order today. The deal expires Wednesday at midnight. That's tonight? This deal expires tonight? Unbelievable. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue mic, and top right corner, Savage. Now let's go to some callers. Let's go to line number 2. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation. Line 2.
Hi, my name is David. I'm calling from New York, WABC. I wanted to call you because I was listening to your show, and I'm in the car, and I'm driving on the Van Wyck headed back to Far Rockaway from Queens, and I felt thirsty. I pulled over on the side at a deli, and I walk in, and I can't help but listening to the guy. I think he was coming off his computer or radio. I'm not sure what it was, but it was basically jihadi propaganda about the Muslims going to war with the Yehud and America and the Christians and the
wait. What language was this broadcast in that you were listening to?
It was in English. It was in English.
Oh, it must have been Al Gore's old friends at the Al Jazeera radio.
Very possible. I actually.
So you're saying this Palestinian grocery was playing jihadi propaganda in your country?
Basically, I don't know if he was Palestinian, but I'm a religious Jew. I have a yarmulke on my head and a beard and everything.
And what happened? Did they serve you? Did they sell you your coffee or whatever?
I got orange juice. He gave me orange. I was getting orange juice.
Wait, hold on. I have one question. Was it in a sealed container?
Yes, man.
I would suggest that if you go in that grocery in the future, make sure it's sealed.
I, I mean, I didn't know if I should call the cops or if I'd get arrested for racial profiling.
No, it's free. It's free speech. They can listen to anything they want.
It's unbelievable.
You can't profile. Your auditory profiling there is very, very suspect. You just did auditory profiling. The cops in Far Rockaway might arrest you for auditory profiling. Hey, look, I got to tell you something. You see, I heard your belly laugh. That's what makes life good. If you can't laugh at these people, what can you do? They're murderers, many of them, and they're dangerous, many of them. And the Muslim zealots are driving Jews out of Europe now, and tomorrow they'll drive the Christians out of Europe if this keeps up. And America's not too far behind with this character in the White House who's enabling them. I agree with you 100%.
I'm worried. I mean, I feel that... I feel like it can, and something can happen any day, and it can change the world as we know. And I don't think people are in touch with that. I think people are very disconnected from that. People I talk to every day, people I used to work with, they think it's like they live with this illusion that the United States of America is going to be this prosperous country forever, just because. And the world as we know it can't change. I mean, people in Germany didn't think the world could change either, and it did.
Well, I have those inklings every once in a while that although we feel safe and secure now, with the number of radical Muslims in this country, and again, I have to quote the FBI director, I respect him greatly. He let it slip out of the bag last week when he said the Islamists are here in 50 states, except Alaska, rather, and they expect an attack. So why shouldn't I expect an attack? What, I know more than he does? I certainly don't. But here's the question. It begs the question. If they know they're here, why don't they arrest them preemptively? What are they waiting for them to attack for? Drag them out by their filthy beards and throw them in jail. What is this? What are we sitting and waiting for? If they know who they are, and they know that they're here in 49 states, why don't they preemptively drag them out and arrest them?
You want my opinion?
Yeah, give me your opinion.
I'm not sure that the leftists. I mean, I think they're insane in what they plan to do, but I'm not sure that they're insane and that they're incoherent or that they're.
Well, I'll give you the answer because there's no just cause. There's no probable cause to arrest them, and the lawyers in New York. Here's the irony. You know, when the Nazis were arrested in America in the various trials over the last 30 years, you know they hired Jewish lawyers. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen those trials, those cases? You and I know, as we're talking straight up, that some lawyers, not even of their own faith, would defend them saying there was no probable cause, throw the case out, and they'd sue the government. They'd sue the NYPD and the government, and they'd win because of that mentality, that suicidal mentality.
How do we fix that?
It'll fix itself. It will fix itself the next time we have another 9/11, God forbid. And here's what most of us feel and fear. There will be another event. It'll be bigger this time. And it won't be a single event. It'll be a simultaneous series of 9-11s in this country. At that time, the world falls down upon them. At that time, all the lawyers with their Fourth Amendment, along with their cohorts, will be rounded up. I can guarantee you the people themselves will not take it after that point. There'll be mayhem. There'll be riots. There'll be a civil war in this country if the government stands between the people and their own survival. That's what's going to happen. And that's what's going to happen as sure as I'm standing here with this government in power right now, who is enabling them right in this country. That's a terrible thing to say, but that's the vision I have. It's a very dark vision, is it not?
That's my fear.
Well, if it's my fear and your fear, and the fear of several others you've met, that means it's now a collective fear under Hussein Obama. You say, well, is it irrational? Is it paranoid? Well, again, the FBI director said that the jihadists are here in 49 states, and they're going to act. And the FBI is crippled because of the lawyers. All the lawyers, the smart girls from NYU, the communist vermin, and the communist boys raised on red diaper, doper baby rhetoric. They've crippled this country. I better take a break. I'm in a sweat. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Hey, look.
Now, make no mistake, this is a difficult mission, and it will remain difficult for some time. It's going to take time to dislodge these terrorists, especially from urban areas. But our coalition is on the offensive. ISIL is on the defensive, and ISIL is going to lose.
Yeah, right. Okay, I get it. And you didn't use the IRS to target conservatives, et cetera, and so on, and Obamacare will lower costs, and you're going to bring America together, right? And you're the greatest commander-in-chief since George Washington. Here's an interesting story. Gitmo detainees turn to ISIS hampers effort to close prison. So your president released five of the worst vermin on the planet in exchange for a deserter. And now he says we're safe from them, but they're all going back to the battlefield, including 6 years behind bars at Gitmo. Abdul Rauf insisted he was a lowly Taliban foot soldier who simply delivered bread and tea to combatants. But he was actually a corps commander. He was released in 07, long before Obama, and sent home to Afghanistan. And until this week, he was working as the top recruiter in Afghanistan for ISIS. Now, Rauf was killed along with seven other vermin in a U.S. drone strike on Monday. Let's hear it for all those men and girls in uniform who played video games as children, and we said they'd not amount to anything. More drones, more drones, more drones. I'd like to donate to a drone fund. I wish that we could have a special, you know, assignment on our taxes, like check over thing, like we'd like 1% of our taxes to go to manufacture of drones, right? He was killed with seven other vermin in the U.S. drone strike on Monday, and detainees like him have returned to the battlefield are complicating Obama's hopes of closing the detention center for terrorism suspects on a Navy base in Cuba. Obama says the prison is costly, damages America's relationship with Kiala, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, right. All wrong. They should have executed them all. Then we wouldn't have the problem. But again, liberalism is a mental disorder. This is like capturing no-Nazis and saying that they were only delivering strudel to the SS. Then you release them and they go back and you find out that they're battlefield commanders. No, I was on the Western Front. Well, what were you doing? I was just delivering strudel. You get it all wrong. We just gave out the strudel, and occasionally one of us was in the yodeling business. I would sing for the troops. I was only a singer. This is what goes on. Either these people are stupid. Are they naive? Do you think these girls running the world right now around Obama, the idiots like the Saki idiot who won't say Jews were in the deli, not of the same people? I never heard anything like it. Well, that moron, Josh Disernest. It's just unbelievable to me. Who were their parents? Do these boys and girls have parents? Does Josh Earnest have a mother and father? Does this Saki have a mother and father somewhere? Are they not humiliated, or are they themselves the reason they're like this? Did they raise them on Red Diaper Doper Baby and Seltzer? What did they raise them on? The Tales of a Red Diaper Doper Baby?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'm noshing on a chicken leg. I'm eating a power lunch. You see, like other major figures in the media, like Wilson Williams, I don't remember his name. I don't dine at the Four Seasons. My idea of a power lunch is heating up something in a microwave and scarfing it down during a break. That's what my life is. It's what keeps me in touch, keeps me young, keeps me limbo, keeps me jumping.
Welcome to the program. We've been talking about the problems of the world here on the show. If you've just tuned in, you've missed an awful lot. And we have another big hour here on the Savage Nation with all the sound of the day and all of the news, views, and reviews that Michael Savage is famous for. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. We have three open lines because I haven't taken many calls today. I will this hour, though. And when I call your number, just state your name, your station, and your topic. It's that simple. And most of you are playing the game perfectly. And I think people like it because they don't know what's coming up next. It's interesting. It's not a single topic where you get bored, right? It's an emerging radio show. You don't know what's going to come up or how I'm going to react to it. So I want to do a lot of calls. I don't want to really replay anything from the last 2 hours. I think I'm just going to rap for a while. I'll do a random rap. Robert likes it, but I can get in a lot of trouble with this one. I'm fighting a cold, fighting a flu. It's not a flu, it's like a cold. I know it's underneath the surface. And it's flu season and cold, so do I practice what I preach? Absolutely. I have enough ascorbic acid flowing through my system to drown a hill of ants. I mean, if you took all of the powdered vitamin C that I put in my body over the last 5 days, you could bury an ant mound with it. And it's keeping it just on the bay. And I'm loaded up on vitamin A, probably not as much as I should be taking. I'm doing 50,000 units. I should be doing 100 during this period. I respond to vitamin A. Zinc lozenges. I still didn't feel good, though. I still feel, you know, it's like it's right under there. Like it's, do you ever get that feeling? It's like it's right under the surface. So I'm not sleeping with the door open at night, just a crack instead of a big Paul Bunyan. I love fresh air. I'm a fresh air freak. No, I'm keeping the room warmer. I'm watching the cold air coming in. The Chinese have that right, man. Their theories of wind is 100% correct. Wind will get you every time, no matter how. You know, really, it's amazing. Wind is really tricky. I never liked it. I always hated the wind. I used to get angry at the wind. Even when I was on the bay, I would hate the wind. The only people who liked the wind are sailors. I was a power boater inside a cabin, so I hated the it was my natural No, you can't hate the wind. I mean, it's like, you know, poking and attacking windmills. But last night, I was feeling low, like after the show. I went to a secret location, another one of my secret studios, which I've not been in months. I used to live in that house. I have a functional studio in four different locations that I never go to. Would you believe this? But the ISDN lines are on. I'm paying for them. Everything's running all the time in case I decide to change location in the middle of the night because I have an intuition that someone's coming to get me. They're coming to take me away. So I went over to this place, and it's fully functional. Everything's working. And I found an old bottle of cognac in the house that I forgot that I had purchased. I mean, I'm talking really expensive, like 100-year-old cognac. Really, really expensive. I don't touch it. It's like too expensive. And I said, all right, look, I deserve it. I'm not feeling good. And I used to love hot cognac, hot brandies when I didn't feel good. 30 years ago in North Beach every winter, that's what I would drink at night. You know, but then they didn't know how to make them. You ask for brandy in a bar. You say, you want a hot brandy. Brandy, you know, or whatever. I would an ordinary run-of-the-mill brandy. I wouldn't drink the rot gut, a step above it. I was a starving writer. And I'd say, you know, warm it up with water. You know what they said? They take a cappuccino machine and put the steam on it. You couldn't drink it. You'd burn your throat out. What is the point of making it so hot that you can't, you know, drink it? You put warm water into brandy, not boiling water. You don't boil off the volatile oils. What you want to do is inhale the volatile. Anyway, I drank it with no hot water. Two of them. I got to tell you, I felt better this morning. I'm like humming along. I'm fit as a fiddle. Something's wrong with me. I mean, I actually feel good. I you know, this is frightening. I have no complaints. Oh, I know. I didn't eat Chinese food. That's right. Normally, if I eat Chinese food just before a meal, I'm off for the whole day. That food is such garbage lately. I don't know why I do it. I should probably follow the kosher food laws, but then I'd have diabetes and a heart attack and be dead by now. That was the problem with the kosher food laws amongst my very Orthodox Jewish friends. It was kosher, but the food was garbage, by and large. They used to eat cakes and pastries that were certified kosher. I'd say, don't you understand that kosher junk food is not Jewish? It's garbage? They didn't understand that. I was always in the health food business for myself, for my family. From one of my good friends, you know what I learned to do? I'm just rambling on. Pardon me. It's the third hour. It's a long day. You got better things to do. Go listen to it. If you can find a better talk show, I suggest you listen to it because you're not going to find it.
I had a friend, the psychiatrist, God bless him, he's still around, who in his house in the 1970s, he surprised me. He'd open a cabinet in his kitchen where there would normally be cutlery, or dishes rather. His cabinet was filled with vitamins of various kinds, like in a pharmacy. I thought it was amazing. So I eventually put that into my own house, as do my children have it. Would you believe it? So at the first sign of, well, first we take maintenance doses of various vitamins. But at the first sign, we have like an entire collection that we can go after. Now take a guess who's trying to eliminate vitamins in America right now. Is it the evil right wing? No. No. Take a guess who wants to ban vitamins. The individual's right to use vitamins. It's the very same radical leftists who you think are your friends, the so-called liberals, who are trying to crush free speech, control the internet, and not fight the war against radical Islam. Their big problem now is vitamins. You hear this? That's their number one problem, is global warming and vitamins. Oh, I'm sorry, and big sodas. I mean, you get the picture. I don't have to build on it. That's all. So that's the opening to the Savage Nation. The news is so horrible. I mean, the Jews are fleeing Europe in droves. I read that the population in Europe now is about as low as it's been in hundreds of years because Muslims are killing them and scaring them. And the Jewish people are canaries in the coal mine once again in our lifetime. And if the Muslim zealots can drive out the Jews in Europe, they will next go to drive the Christians out of their own countries, as they have done going back 1,000 years. And if you think it can't happen here, you're mistaken, you idiot. Especially when you have a president bringing in 100,000 Muslims a month as part of his immigration plan. Well, why would he do that? Why would he do? Is Islam compatible with this nation? You'd say, well, yeah, it is. Is it? Can we ask the question? Are we allowed to ask the question? Is Islam compatible with Christianity? Well, for a long time they got along, but then along came a certain sect of Islam known as Wahhabism, it's a very radical view of Islam, and it's at war with the world. And it's out to crush those around it or convert them. Make no mistake about it. So how many of the Muslims that Obama is bringing into America are practicing this form of Islam or are a Sufi type of Islamists? How many? I'm sorry, not Sufis necessarily. I'm talking Salafists. That's what I meant. Pardon me. I meant Salafists. I want to be precise about this. Why would he bring them into this country? We know that not all Muslims are terrorists. We certainly know that. Everybody accepts that. And we also know that the radical Muslims have killed more Muslims than they have killed Christians in the modern world or Jews. We know that as well. They're on a rampage to kill everyone around them who doesn't want to be dragged back into the 6th century. But why would you bring that mentality into the country? What would you gain by this? So these are some of the questions that are eating people alive today. Yeah, it goes well beyond saying that the folks killed in a deli and this and that and the Crusades. And this. I mean, it goes well beyond that. There's something pathological about this guy. So I don't want to go there either. War and rumors of war is really the topic. Now you got Nancy Pelosi. They're going to boycott Netanyahu. Do you actually think Pelosi would boycott the leader of Iran if he came here? Do you think that the very same self-righteous phonies in the Congressional Black Caucus who are going to boycott Netanyahu would boycott an Iranian leader if he came to this country? Kind of doubt it. Yeah, I kind of doubt about that. Now, what did Graham say? Obama's more worried about upsetting the Iranians and destroying ISIS. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Rice unrelated. The news is so bad I can't play it. Here's Boehner trying to act tough. Oh, here's Madeleine Albright. This is the most sickening woman in the history of the U.S. State Department. Now she's attacking Netanyahu. I want you to listen to this sick creature in clip 19.
He is interfering in our internal affairs, and I don't want to interfere in Israeli internal affairs. But it strikes me that there's an awful lot going on in his neighborhood in the Middle East, and that's where he should be.
Netanyahu is interfering in our internal affairs. You sick creature, you Albright. You know, you're a war criminal to millions of Europeans. Interpol should arrest you for the war crimes you committed against the Serbs. You and that sick group around you. Then you became a lobbyist for China, didn't you? Now, every time they need you, they bring the hag back from her consulting firm. And suddenly she does the job that they wanted to do. The mad dog that she is, that old hag. He's interfering in our... Why don't you have the bravery to say that about the Pope, Madeline, in the midst of your partying over there in Georgetown? You're saying Netanyahu is interfering in our internal affairs? How about when the Pope comes here and starts talking about global warming, something he knows nothing about? When the Pope comes here and starts telling us to admit millions of illegal aliens, that's the Christian thing to do. Would you have the same courage to say it then? Madeline Albright, you... See, I have to bite my tongue because it's not a stage show. See, I caught it just in time. I do have good self-control. Oh, would I like to say things about this woman. When she bombed Serbia under the lies that her and Clinton cooked up, I sat for 72 days on the air. It was the worst 72 days of my life. The Serbs were our allies in World War II. The Serbs rescued our airmen in World War II. They took the side of the Bosnian Muslims, and Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton unleashed a merciless bombing campaign against the Serbs to steal Kosovo from the Serbian people. Kosovo had been part of Serbia since the 1300s, and Bill Clinton severed Kosovo from the Serbian people. And he did so in the most vicious manner. He bombed every bridge on the Danube River. And by the way, if anyone listening to this show can show me one photograph of one of those bridges crumpled from American bombers, I'll give you a prize, because there was a media blackout on what Bill Clinton had done. He was very clever, that old Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. They took U.S. Air Force bombers, and they took our markings off them, our U.S. markings, and put NATO markings on them. And they used our Air Force as a Hessian Air Force for the socialists in Europe. It was run by Javier Solana of Spain, a hardcore Soviet in Spain. And they bombed Serbia in order to steal Kosovo from the Serbs. And who was the architect and the chief spokesmouth for it? Madeleine Albright, the same vicious war criminal who goes on MSNBC and says that Benjamin Netanyahu was interfering in our internal affairs. Now, here's another Jew attacking Israel. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it like it is. If you don't like it, it's too bad. Because I asked last hour, where are the Jews of Hollywood now that the Jews are being attacked by Obama? Netanyahu is being attacked. Where are the big Jews of Hollywood? I asked the question. I haven't gotten an answer. Where's Abraham Foxman of the ADL? No answer. Where are the Jewish senators and congressmen? No answer. Now here comes a Jewish ex-secretary of state, Madeleine Albright, attacking Israel, attacking Netanyahu. How does that make sense to you? Are these people that brainwashed by Barack Hussein Obama that they will take this untenable position and attack Netanyahu in this manner? Yes, they are. They're that dangerous. You want to know what a group of zealots are? Obama liked to use the word zealots, a group of zealots who committed the whatever. Remember that? Group of zealots. What would you call people like this? These vicious, pedantic academics. Would you not call this oligarchy a group of zealots? All right, that's good enough for me. Let's play B.B. King, When Love Comes to Town, from 1988. I like the version, either Him Alone or B.B. King and U2 Bono, 1988. When love comes to town, I'm going to jump that train. I want to hear some music. I got to tone this down. Let her roll. You have it? Not yet. Okay. It's like when you come down out of the High Sierras on Highway 80, there's always these little things, these truck ramps. Remember when I first moved to California 40 years ago? I liked the truck ramps. Like if you're coming down off the pass and you lost control of your car, which I never did. Oh, what I wouldn't give to be able to sing one song like that. And get rid of these vermin out of my head, these evil devils, these evil left-wing Democrat vermin, if I could only get them out of my head. You talk about goblins and devils. There they are! They have names and they wear dresses. And I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Time for one quick call. When I call your name, your number, name, station, topic. Okay, let's fire away. Let's go for it. Line 7, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation, number 7.
Hey, David, KSFO, San Francisco. Got a question. Well, not a question, just commenting on, spent 20 years in the Marine Corps, and you know what? I'm really frustrated with our leadership as far as our generals are concerned, and look no different than the, or look no closer than the Declaration of Independence on the last one. It says he has excited domestic insurrections among us and has endeavored to bring the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. That applies to today. So So where is our leadership? Where is our leadership?
You took the breath away from me because you found something I haven't heard on any radio show. But yes, we are surrounded by those who will kill men, women, and children with impunity, as they are doing regularly and have done for 1,000 years in the name of their view of their religion. So why would you bring more of them into this country is the question. Tell me, who's making these decisions for him? Or is it a machine that's out of control? This open borders, it's killing all of us. You get it? Unprotected talk when I return. Right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282.
Well, here's a piece of news that you're not going to believe. Socialist French minister says fight terrorism by bringing back the socialist state. You heard me. French Minister of Justice Christiane Taubira is in the same mental bind as the Obama administration, blind to the Islamic extremism being the cause of most terror around the world. And now the socialist French government is blind on how to fight terrorism. This idiot woman says that the socialist government of France believes that you don't declare war in order to fight terrorism. You increase the size of the socialist government. That's right. Sounds like Obama, doesn't it? She said, it's not enough to win the war to build the peace, she said to the UN's Counterterrorism Committee in a rousing and eloquent speech that promoted applause from the socialists at the UN. She said, terrorism is not elsewhere. It's everywhere. It spreads in fragmented societies where the economic and social fabric is being destroyed by poverty. People feel excluded. You get it? The same idiocy that was used in America since the 60s by the left, where criminals were doing it not because they were inherently bad people, but because they didn't have equal opportunity. Now they're using it with the Islamic terrorists. So this idiot says in order to concentrate, to counteract this kind of behavior, we need to concentrate on education and health, reducing misery and inequality in order to combat terrorism. Now, this moron doesn't know the history of the world, doesn't know that Islam has been at war with everyone around it for 1,000 years. But this is what you get when you have socialism in America, or you have socialism in Europe, or you have socialism in the UN. It's all the same. They all are fundamentally singing from the exact same playbook. Now, how did the socialists in France get elected? It's because of the Muslim vote. Why do the Muslims want a socialist government in France? Because they get a great deal of welfare. You see, back in some Arab slum, they couldn't afford to raise 8 kids. But in France, they have the government supporting the 8 kids. The socialists in Sweden and other EU countries also depend on the Muslim vote. Do you understand this? Do you understand what's going on in the world right now and why Obama is following the same playbook? So there it is. And don't think liberals around you don't think the same way, where if you said to them, why are they on the warpath? Say, well, because of exclusion, they're isolated, because of racism, blah, 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 blah. They don't have equal opportunity, blah, 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 blah. And if we only spend more money and give them opportunity, why they won't join ISIS, right? That's their mentality. So in other words, the young Germans who were joining the Nazi party wouldn't have joined the Nazi party if they had opportunity. Now, there are plenty of opportunity in Germany. They liked the Nazi ideology. They loved it. They liked the idea of exterminating other people. They liked an idea that told them that they were superior to everybody else. It's very similar, by the way. Simple mentality. It's the similar mentality. They like exterminating everyone else who's not like them, and they like feeling superior to everybody else. That's the tenet of their radical view of religion, is that they're superior to everyone else, and it gives them the justification to rape, murder, whatever they want to do. It's not about socialism bringing back economic opportunity. Nonsense. And yet this was brought, the House down in the UN. The audience jumped up cheering this lunatic. French Minister of Justice, Christiane Taubira. Can you believe this? Blind to the fact that it's Islam and Islamic extremism is the cause of most terror attacks in the world. Their idea of how to fight terrorism is jobs and fairness. Jobs and fairness. Packed house cheering. Cheering in the United Nation. In the United Nations. You think it's any different here in San Francisco under Dianne Feinstein and Nancy Pelosi? Now they're outright anti-Semitic. Now they're attacking Benjamin Netanyahu and Israel, saying that he's interfering in local affairs. Last week they were on the side of the Jews. This week they're against the Jews. Oh, not against Jews, but against Netanyahu because he's not a good Jew. The only good Jew is a passive Jew. The only good Jew is a progressive Jew. The only bad Jews, as you well know, are militant Jews who want to live. Any Jew who'll stand up and fly for his country or fight for his country is not really a good Jew. In fact, they're not even Jews to Nancy Pelosi and Dianne Feinstein. No, they're used to the Woody Allen school of Judaism, the type that hate their own religion, mock their own people, spit on their rabbis, and don't know the first thing about the Talmud. Now that's the kind of Jew they could do business with. That's the kind they're used to in the legal profession, by and large. When you get Netanyahu, a certified war hero, if you can never forget who he is, you talk about a commander-in-chief, that's a commander-in-chief. Not only has he been in combat, he was an actual combat leader. And he lost his brother in the raid on Entebbe. You don't know anything about that anymore because the idiots in the media don't want you to know how heroic Netanyahu really is. And he is David now in the lion's den. Netanyahu, Benjamin Netanyahu, is now David in the lion's den. He's facing an entire hostile world for daring to say that his people are facing extermination by Iran. And for that alone, Madeleine Albright, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Hillary Clinton, and the others who last week were great friends of the Jews now hate Jews. They wouldn't say that, though. It's whatever the boss wants, they do. You got to listen to Netanyahu's statement, though. It's very important you judge for yourself. Listen, I don't say the whole world should revolve around Israel. Don't get me wrong. But let me explain something to you in plain English. Israel does face an existential threat from a nuclear-armed Iran. Why? You say, well, look, let's be real. Israel has many nukes. Many countries have nuclear weapons. Why shouldn't the Iranians have nuclear weapons? Because no other nation on earth with nuclear weapons has said that when they have them, they will use them to annihilate an entire nation. Or they will use these weapons to commit genocide. Even Pakistan has never said that, ever. But Iran has said that many times, as near as 3 weeks ago. One of those Mullah throwbacks said that we will wipe Israel off the map, and then we'll go after the big Satan. So, of course, Iran should be blocked from having a nuclear weapon. So who is the only country that's facing this threat? This threat is an imminent threat. Israel. Not us now, but they are the canary in the coal mine. And so Netanyahu says, here's why I want to address Congress. Listen to the clip. It's very important that you hear this.
We do have today a profound disagreement with the United States administration over the offer that has been made to Iran. This offer would enable Iran to threaten Israel's survival. This is a regime, Iran, that is openly committed to Israel's destruction. It would be able, under this deal, to break out to a nuclear weapon in a short time, and within a few years, to have the industrial capability to produce many nuclear bombs for the goal of our destruction.
All right, for the goal, he's very clear. So you say, well, who cares about Israel? Let them all go to you-know-where. That's the average American could care less about Israel. But what you have to understand is Israel today is you tomorrow. The Jews are being driven out of Europe in unprecedented numbers right now by vicious attacks by Muslims. Let's call it like it is. Let's say it like it is. It's not skinheads driving the Jews out. You stupid liberal morons, you idiot socialist, leftist, progressive, psychotic, self-destructive drug addicts, you. It's not the right wing driving the Jews out of Europe. It's your friends, the Islamists, the ones you think are your natural friends. But you see, they're using you, stupid progressives. You've always been morons. Lenin called you useful idiots. And the radical Muslims knows. They know that you're useful idiots. Okay? A friend of my enemies is my friend. Or how would they put it? Who knows how they figure with their twisted logic? They haven't invented anything since they gave us the zero. 1,000 years ago, their ancestors developed the zero. Supposed to put them on a silver platter now. They haven't developed anything in 1,000 years. All right, they gave us the zero. So that was a phrase. So they're using the American progressive left to attack America, to attack Israel. And the progressives think that this is going to make a perfect world, a more perfect world. Then if it's more perfect world, then why did they kill a 26-year-old girl the other day? An innocent girl who went over as an aid worker. And not one feminist said one word. Not one American loudmouth harridan said one word about the killing of that girl. And they threw homosexuals off a roof. The pictures were published 3 weeks ago. The Islamists, the ISIS people, off a roof and then stoned him to death when he didn't die. This poor 60-year-old gay guy. Not one word from the so-called gay movement. Where were they? Why have they said nothing? I don't get it. I mean, they're in danger. Don't they understand the danger they're in? I don't know. I don't have an answer for this. These pedantic academics, do they not understand the world that they're living in? I don't have an answer. All I can say to you is this. It's strange how the anti-death penalty liberal humanitarians who surround us in the San Francisco area, for example, are silent as ISIS executes and beheads. The anti-death penalty liberal lawyers in the Bay Area who have nothing but concern for the human life and human dignity and will spend 30 years defending a mass murderer or a rapist. They executed and beheaded a poor 26-year-old girl, and not one of these so-called lawyers concerned about humanitarian issues said one word. Innocent aid worker, 26-year-old Kyla Jean Mueller. Not a word from the anti-death penalty hypocrites in the San Francisco Bay Area and elsewhere. Not one. It's where I live. It's a very sick area. It's a mentally deranged area. It's filled with the greatest hypocrites the world has ever seen. And now we have Pelosi attacking Netanyahu. 2 weeks ago, she was the friend of the Jews. Now, all of a sudden, because her boss, Hussein, turned on him, now she's turned on him. I want you to listen to this lunacy in clip 8. You're not going to believe what you're about to hear. Here she hits a new low of insanity. Senility in 8.
No, I don't think anybody should use the word boycott in this. I'm seriously considering going. It's still my hope that the event will not take place. There's a serious unease, but don't even think in terms of the word boycott. Members will go or they won't go, as they usually go or don't go.
Only in America can a woman of this deranged mentality be the former Speaker of the House of Representatives. I don't think that anyone in the world should use the word boycott. No, it is a boycott. The Congressional Black Caucus, you, all of the leftists under Hussein are boycotting Netanyahu's speech because you're too busy. What do you mean members will go or they won't go? What is this, an ordinary guy? What is this, some rap singer showing up? It's not a rap singer. It's the head of Israel, you idiot, you. What do you mean they'll go or they won't go? You're so brave all of a sudden. Why don't you have that courage when Ahmadinejad spoke at the UN? What, you couldn't miss going to the dinner? Unbelievable to me. Well, that's an outrage. It's an outrage. It's what I do for a living. I have to deconstruct the outrage of these psychotics. They'll kill all of us unless we stand up to them. I mean, the elections don't seem to matter. Nothing seems to matter. We throw Obama out. We throw his policies out. The whole election was get rid of this communist in the White House. Do whatever you have to do. And here we wake up and they're still there. There she is. Doesn't go away. 78 years old. Feinstein, 78 years old. No end to them. They don't end. They don't go away. Like vampires, they never end. They don't stop. And they keep spouting their smallpox vaccine at us. They constantly spew smallpox, verbal smallpox, pestules come out of their mouths every day. How can a country survive its fools like this? How can its country survive its treasonous fools like this? I don't know. I don't know that we can survive any more of this. Bunch of folks randomly shot by a zealot. Yeah, right. That's what Obama said. Bunch of folks randomly shot by a zealot. Not one word from Harvey Weinstein saying that's an outrage. Not one word from Foxman of the Anti-Defamation League. I mean, what does the word defamation mean? Is when you defame a people. So for Obama to smear the Jews who were killed and say they were just a bunch of folks randomly shot by a zealot in a deli, what an outrage that was. Not one word from Hollywood powerhouses who were Jewish. Not one word from Jewish senators or congressmen. Not one word from the ADL. Not one word. The Sanhedrin is silent. That's why I brought up the word Sanhedrin earlier in the show. Look it up, Sanhedrin. They were around when Jesus walked the earth, and they're still here. And they'll do it again. They'll do it again. They're here, they're near, and they're everywhere. And I think that's as far as I want to go right now with my radar vision. I'll be back in a moment.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Well, in the closing moments of the Savage Nation, this is a story you may have missed from the Gateway Pundit. Somalis demand public school immersion program. Kaisi Jama, who just happens to be the director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing, whatever that is, a nonprofit that held a blacks-only Ferguson meeting a few weeks ago, was at a recent Portland Public Schools board meeting to demand five new full-time staff positions for a Somali immersion program. They want five full-time positions, a full-time Somali teacher on special assignment, a full-time Somali teacher for native language literacy, a full-time HR dual immersion specific coordinator, project manager, a full-time Somali community outreach specialist. How do you feel about that? They want a Somali immersion program? Why don't they go back to Somalia and they'll get all the immersion that they ever wanted? It was Bill Clinton, by the way, who declared Somalis refugees and flooded America with this wonderful group of immigrants. And by the way, why did they leave their homeland if it was such a wonderful country that they want to remember of those years? What do they need an immersion program and what they ran away from? Tell me why. Why don't they assimilate into American culture? Why don't they have an immersion program in English and an immersion program in our history? Huh? Answer to that one? By the way, let me ask you something. Have you figured out why so many of these immigrant groups are demanding so much all of a sudden out of America? Isn't it interesting that all of these immigrants are demanding what our country should do for them? Why, it's because Hussein Obama is in power. He's enabled them. The next thing you know, they'll be saying that we must have Sharia law in our communities. They probably have it anyway. So there it is. They don't want to be Americans, just as we told you. And where is the freedom from religion, folks, on their high horse screaming about this? I guess the freedom from religion guy, Mr. Weinstein, in the Air Force, was always telling the Air Force to take down a cross and to break down any connection to Christianity. Mr. Mickey Weinstein, I guess Mickey Weinstein doesn't mind Muslim school children having access to Muslim teachings in public schools. Only Jews and Christians offend Mickey Weinstein of the Freedom from Religion Foundation. My friends, it's why I wrote Stop the Coming Civil War. Because they're pushing us, and they're pushing us, and they're pushing us. And never forget one thing. We are the majority. Don't you ever forget that. Some days you may be disheartened. The problem is we don't have a leader. We are the majority in this country. They're not going to push us out of our own country. Never forget that.
Savage.